Now, with the Saints game approaching on Friday night, earlier this week, we were delighted that Gareth Walker, rugby league correspondent for the Daily Mirror, joined the podcast. Gareth also turned out to be a Rochdale Hornets fan. So Gareth, Dennis, Sam and I decided to pick, and more, our combined Ultimate Saints and Wire starting 13. So it's over to Gareth. Hi, Gareth. How you doing, mate?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
We are very well. It's a little bit early in the morning here in Sydney. It's just gone 7 a.m. We could do with an hour change. Our hour hasn't changed yet. But you're all very sprightly, aren't you? Because, of course, the hour's gone forward and we've got the big game to look forward to as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Some light nights coming back now. So we'll see some good evening games, hopefully. And yeah, like you say, big one this weekend.
Right. So what we thought we'd do, Gareth, we'd just run through both the Wolves and the Saints sides. It's been a little bit tricky, really, to come up with their best 13. Maybe that's to their advantage. Do you feel a little bit, before I run through them, that one of the reasons they're sitting at number one and two is because they've got so much strength in depth?
It certainly helps, yeah. I think when you see some of the other clubs pick up even, you know, four or five injuries, they can struggle to deal with that, whereas Warrington and Saints have certainly got that depth. You know, they've young players pushing through. And I think the value you get from your squad numbers, say 20 to 25, can be massive over the course of the season. And both clubs are well positioned in that area, I think, and that helps everything.
Do you think the fact that they're in line now with the Rochdale Hornets helps?
I'm split on these partnerships. As a Rochdale lad, I'm not massively in favour of players dropping in and out every week. I think it can work, absolutely, if you get young players staying there for a certain amount of time. So a great example is Pat Moran, your young prop forward who spent pretty much all last year at Rochdale. I saw them play a few times. I think he's definitely got a big future in the game. Less keen on a Tom Lynham or somebody dropping in for one match only. I just don't like that system personally. But it can work. And I think Warrington Rochdale probably use it better than most, if I'm honest.
Where is Pat Moran now? Is he still at Rochdale? Where is he knocking
about? Yeah, he's played quite a bit this year as well. He was in one of your squads, I think, this year. He is young for a front row, but he's a big guy. And when I've seen him, he works hard. I think if he continues to progress as he has been doing, I'm sure he'll have a Super League future in front of him. And he's played a lot of first-team games against men in the Championship, which will help him. I think that's what dual registration was set up for. I think when you get first-team players dropping in almost as a fitness test, it is when it frustrates Championship supporters.
I think with Pat Moran in particular, the club have got high hopes for him. He's thought very highly as he's been coming through the ranks. But as you say, he's still young though, isn't he?
He is, yeah. But what I've seen of him, and my dad and brother go and watch Rochdale every week, and they tell me how well he's playing. I think he's a perfect example of how dual registration should work. It benefits Rochdale, it benefits Warrington and the player. I think the other side of it is probably where people involved with the Championship aren't as comfortable with it. But I can certainly see how it helps Warrington. You know, Aquala's there at the moment, isn't he? He's played a lot of games for Rochdale this year. They've got an NRL forward effectively in their first team, which is a strange situation, but it helps Warrington because he's playing regular matches.
There you are, Dennis. We found out where he's gone to. Dennis has been a little bit anxious about him, haven't you, mate? But turns out he's at Rochdale.
I was wondering whether it was Moran or Moran. I mean, we've had this conversation before.
Oh, this is true. We've been told off that it's Moran, not Moran.
Oh, well, I can't say that I'm right on that. I'm not sure. I have a friend with the same surname who's called Moran, so that's my excuse. But yeah, they've both been playing at Rochdale this year.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm going to run through the teams. I've got a bus to catch in about 25 minutes, so I'll run through it and we'll go from there. Now, you might think these teams are wrong, Gareth. I'm not sure. I basically looked at their Twitter feeds over the last few weeks to see which players they played. It seems Sintelling's last week did leave a few out in their win over Hull KR. So I also jumped onto their squad numbers to see where they sort of sit. So I'll run from the top. Wolves, we've gone for Ratchford, Lynham, Toby King, Goodwin, Charnley, Blake Austin, Deck Patton, Hill, Clark, Cooper, Curry, Hughes, and Philbin. The corresponding numbers over at Saints, we've got Lachlan Coote, Makinson, Kevin Naguama, Mark Percival, Regan Grace, Theo Tharge, Lomax, and then in the forwards, Wormsley, Roby and Thompson in the front row, Zeb Taylor, Joseph Paolo, and Morgan Knowles I've put in at 13. Is that about right, Gareth? Have I got the two teams pretty much spot on if all the players are fit?
Yeah, I don't think that's far away. There's always the odd player dropping in and out through form or injuries. You know, at Saints, some weeks Amor's played, some weeks it's been Jack Ashworth. And I think it's similar at Warrington that, you know, Atkins has played some games and then dropped out. But generally speaking, that looks pretty spot on.
Okay. All right. Well, I feel that the forwards don't get as much love as the backs. So rather than starting at one, I thought we'd start at 13 and go the other way. Bit Aussie way like they used to do on the numbers over here before they changed it all round. So first up, we've got Joe Philbin against Morgan Knowles. I don't know about St Helens too much, but I'd say that Warrington, they've not so much sort of looked for a 13. I still don't quite think we know exactly who our best 13 is, but possibly this chap has come to the fore now with the limited interchanges. Are we seeing a modern day forward in Philbin? You know, a little bit smaller, can do more metres, more yards, more time over the period of a game.
Yeah, well, I think in a lot of ways, those two players are quite similar in that respect. You know, Morgan Knowles as well, I'm a big fan of him at the moment. And I think those two guys are two of the most improving forwards in Super League at the moment. Knowles has come on a bomb. I think he really benefited from playing for Wales in the World Cup. And obviously, Philbin was involved with Ireland. You know, those experiences are invaluable. Both real high work rate players.
Yeah,
Philbin's got some good impact off the bench, and I don't think there's much to split those two, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. Well, come on, we're going to have to put everyone on the spot now. So, Gareth, we're going to give you 2 points. You know your stuff. Us three dimwits are only going to get a point each. So, give us your man, Gareth. Come on, who do you want, Philbin or Morgan Knowles?
In this case, I'm just, and I mean just, edging towards Morgan Knowles.
Okay, all right. Sam?
I did as well, actually. I know you're not going to allow me, but the ones I don't put in, I might want to drop down to my bench. But right. If we're going to force me on a starting man, I'm going to go with Morgan
bench,
Knowles.
You love your bench, don't you, Sam? You've got a bit of a fantasy bench going on this podcast.
Makes a big difference, that interchange.
Dennis, you're still awake. Morgan Knowles, he plays for St Helens.
Yeah, but I'm swayed because Gareth probably doesn't know I'm a budding journalist, and I interviewed Philbin only a couple of weeks ago. Isn't that right? And so he's my favourite now. So
he seemed more excited than you, Dennis, when you were doing that interview. He was very happy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He's a really happy forward.
He definitely thought I was somebody else. I'm sure of it.
All right. Okay. All right. We'll move on. Right. Second row.
Hang on. Who are you saying?
Well, you know what, mate? I'm not giving a point either way because my inability to know all the St Helens team, I don't know too much about Morgan Knowles, and it'd be very disrespectful if the lad's playing superbly every week for me to give a point to Joe Philbin.
Yeah, I think Gareth, too much time down there with Wayne Bennett at that cinema, isn't it? You're just not in touch.
All right, number 12. Now, am I saying his name right here? Joseph Paolo, is that how we're saying it? Against Jack Hughes. We like Jack Hughes. He does a lot of work that probably goes unseen, or maybe it doesn't go unseen. It's just the fact they don't talk about it. Gareth, who would you go for here?
Yeah, it'd be Jack Hughes for me. I think he's been terrific the last 18 months in particular. He went on the Knights tour, didn't he? Been promoted to the senior England squad. I think he's really come on. I don't think we've seen the best of Joseph Paolo yet in Super League. It looked when he first came, he probably wasn't fully up to speed, so he might improve. But yeah, Jack Hughes for me there.
Boys, you got any qualms against that?
No contest. Hughes does virtually 80 minutes week in, week out at a good standard.
He's a bit like the invisible man, though, isn't he? You don't really notice he's there.
He's got that little back pass now, hasn't he, out the back, which works very well.
Right, yeah. That does, yeah. But like you say, you don't really know he's there, but he's, yeah.
Dennis, there's times on this podcast when we don't know you're there, mate, to be honest.
No, that's all right. Oh, I'm used to the abuse.
Well, one man we did give a little bit of abuse to, and I know Sam feels very guilty about this because Sam wrote him off at the start of the season. He's shaking his head now, but we've got it all down on record. Is Ben Curry up against Seb Taylor? I'll go first. Look, I've got to give it to Ben Curry. After everything he's been through, he's come back. He's match fit. There's no brace on his leg anymore. Possibly a question mark if he's lost that edge of speed, but I've got to give it to Ben Curry. Gareth?
Yeah, I'd go Ben Curry as well. I mean, Zeb Tai has had some good times in Super League, and with Saints and Catalans, but Ben Curry on his day, and we've seen some flashes the last few weeks that he's getting back towards that, is one of the top back rowers in the world, I think. And I hope he doesn't get another serious injury and we get to see his full potential over a long period of time.
Dennis, we've pretty much used the analogy every week of what kind of Curry Ben Curry is. When he was injured, we had him down as a bit of a corma, a very wet dish. Not something. A few weeks ago, we upgraded him to a chicken tikka masala. We said he was the big substance on the table at the banquet. Not everyone was picking it again, but it was there and it was steady. Are we looking more now towards a Madras?
Not quite, but is it probably a De Piazza, I think, at this stage? I think there's a few peppers in his play. He's popping them passes out. Might not have the speed yet for a full Vindaloo or a Madras.
Four-star, we're still waiting on that. But definitely going the right way, which is good to see. De Piazza, you almost said that as if it was Italian.
I've just been watching The Trip in Italy. So just been doing my Italian voice for the past 10 minutes. Sorry about that.
All right, let's move on to the forwards. Now, boy, this is a hard one to pick. Mike Cooper versus Luke Thompson. Two outstanding forwards. Cooper's come back a better man after his spell in the NRL. He had a bit of a dodgy year under Smith the first year he got back, but now we're seeing the best of him. But Luke Thompson, boy, what a forward he is. Sam, we'll go to you first. Who are you going for?
I'm cheating again. Whichever one I don't want, the other one's on my bench. I would start with Cooper and then I'd bring Thompson on to run amok.
It's a bit a politician's Brexit answer, that, mate, isn't it?
No. I've only got four on my bench. I've only got four guys on my bench, and Thompson and Philbin are two of them.
I'm thinking the thing is, Cooper's got that just that one extra thing about the offloads, which it seems to be in his game more than Thompson. So I would say Cooper.
And I've not seen quite enough of Thompson, but Cooper's playing 60 minutes a game at the minute.
Right. Okay. Well, look, I'm going to go against you, boys. I know you obviously your allegiance is to Warrington, but I don't think there's a better forward in the game at the moment, here or over there, than Luke Thompson. I think he is outstanding forward. He's tough as old boots, and I think the future looks very bright for him. I wouldn't be surprised if he's not in the NRL within 5 years' time. Gareth, your thoughts?
Just Thompson, I think. Perhaps just because they're different parts of the career, and they're, you know, Thompson's young and up and coming. Cooper's towards the other end of his career, but I think he's been absolutely brilliant this year. Really unlucky to miss out on England selection in that 30-man squad. Whereas Thompson, you're now looking at, he's a definite in that England 17, I think, at the moment, which, given the quality of the forwards, is some kind of achievement. So I'd go with Thompson, but only just, they're two great forwards.
It's brilliant that we've got someone professional on tonight, Gareth, who thinks my way. You know, I'm really enjoying this. And I've also got down in my notes to ask you about Mike Cooper in England. So keep up, lads.
I was going to ask you about the points at this stage, but I know you always change it at the
I thought we'd do it a bit Eurovision Song Contest-ish. I won't announce them until the end. Okay.
Right.
We're going to go over to Helen Skelton in Yorkshire. She's going to announce the points for us. Right. On to the... Now, another one. Doesn't get any easier, this, does it? Daryl Clark against James Robey.
Oh, that's easy.
Hey, where do we go here?
It's easy.
All right. Well, I'll go first. Look, I'm going to just do this on biasness, in the fact that Daryl Clark seems to be the action man of Warrington this season. I haven't seen enough of Robey. I have to go Daryl Clark. I always think he's come second best to Robey when it comes to picking England teams and everything else. Gareth, you probably see it far more from a even keel.
Yeah, again, two top players, these, aren't they? But I just think that the levels of consistency that Rob has achieved throughout his whole career, you know, over a decade now, there's not many players in the game that can do that. And it's a week-to-week thing. It doesn't matter whether they're playing away at Wakefield or at home to Wigan. And every year he's been the same. So Rob just edged it for me. I think he's a genuine Super League great.
This is like turning that other question on its head, really, because when you think about it, Clark's got the speed sort of thing, whereas Roby's not got the speed so much. So he's like the older one and Clark's the younger one. So I'd go for Clark.
Depends how you want to set your team up. As you just said, Clark is running the ball far more than Robey, but Robey is sort of controls it at the play of the ball, doesn't he, and brings the rest of the team onto it. So
it depends how you're setting
your team up.
Very close. I mean, you've got Wham, haven't you, with George Michael and Andrew Ridgeley. There was a clear definition between the two. But these two, this is like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. It's Robert Redford and Paul Newman. They really are. I think if they came out fighting together, I wouldn't be surprised at the end of the OK Corral.
They're not as good looking as Robert Redford and Paul Newman either.
I think we can safely say that next time you're on Backchat, Gareth, or something like that, that you won't be comparing any rugby players to George Michael and...
Well, more's the pity. I think this has been more entertaining.
Right, well, boys, we could have Gareth on the spot here, because Gareth's gone Robey, I've gone Clark. What are you two going? We could overdo him on the points here.
I'm going Clark again.
Sam, it's up to you, mate. You've got the casting vote.
Oh.
Any time today, I can see the bus coming down the end of the road.
Yeah.
Roby just. With Clark on the bench. So there you go. That's three players on the bench.
Do you know what this is, Gareth? We've just got a press pass from the Warrington Wolves. Carl Fitzpatrick has brought us on board, and it's going to Sal. And he's just worried he's going to see you at a press conference. That's all it is. That's what that's about. Right, okay. Here we go. Alex Wormsley up against Chris Hill. Another difficult one to pick. Oh, Sam doesn't think so. He's shaking his head. I'll go to you first, mate.
At the minute, no contest. Chris Hill by a mile. Wormsley, good player, but doesn't seem to be quite the same standard as he was a year, 18 months ago. So Chris Hill, easy for me.
Well, he did break his neck. If I'd broken my neck, I'm still not making a cup of tea for anyone 18 months down the track.
You've never done that anyway, so don't even think go there. Are we going to get round to the other players then before your bus comes? Or are we going to keep on the forwards?
Don't worry. We're all right. We're going okay.
Chris Hill.
All right. Gareth?
Yeah, it is Chris Hill for me. Just that they're two. I like those two players because they took the unusual route to the top, didn't they? They both fair amount in the Championship rather than coming through academies. You know, they did the time in the part-time ranks. Hill for a long time, and he's come through and become a top forward. So Hill just, and he's a fair bit of ball playing this year, haven't we? We saw Hull at weekend.
Soft hands.
Passes on the line, yeah. He's certainly developed that part of his game. So yeah, just Chris Hill for me.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll go Chris Hill as well. I haven't seen enough of Wormsley since he's come back. All right, now, number seven. Right, who's going to start here? I mean, this is the one I think out of all the team, up and down, this is the one that, to me, doesn't excite me the most. There's no fantasy locker for me on these two.
In so much that you don't like Lomax either?
I just find that Lomax fits in. He sort of fits in where, you know, they haven't got someone. He's even done it for England, hasn't he? He's not quite ever nailed down a position with Lomax.
I quite like Lomax, to be fair. I'd pick him over Deck. I'd pick him over Deck.
This is amazing. This conversation's gone on for 30 seconds when we haven't really talked about Deck Pattern. Gareth, I suggest you take over.
Well, I am a Johnny Lomax fan, definitely. I think he's always... He's had some tough runs with injuries as well, but I think when he's played for England, especially at fullback under Bennett, he's been really good. And if you speak to people who watch Saints every week, he very rarely has a bad game wherever he's played, and he's settled in at half-back now. You know, Deck Patton's got good things to his game as well, but I think Lomax edges that one for me.
I'm with you there, Deck Patton.
Can I just say, we've been doing a bit of psychology at work in regards to sales techniques. And one clear sales technique is when someone rubs their hand through the hair, they're possibly not telling the truth. And Gareth just rubbed his hand through his hair as he was talking about Deck Patton. I picked up on that instantly, boys.
I don't know what you can possibly mean.
Right, coming on to number six, Theo Farge. He's come into the St Helens team, but he's up against our marquee signing. Every week we do a different car for Blake Austin. This week he was the Austin 3000. He almost took off to space. Are we all going Blake Austin?
No, I was just sat at Hull on Friday night, and I can't remember a more dominant individual, certainly first half performance, than that produced. So Farge has been great for Saints this year, keeping Richardson out.
You'll see me in the bedroom on Thursday night, Gareth. That was a dominant performance.
I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, okay. All right. Dennis, you've got no problems with that, have you? I know you've sort of got a little bit of all that French wine you drink, but you're still going for Blake Austin.
Yeah.
Okay. Up and coming Regan Grace against the man back from Union, Josh Charnley. I've got to go for the Warrington player, Josh Charnley. As good as Regan Grace has been, I just think Charnley gives that a little bit more, doesn't he? Gareth?
Yeah, Grace has got a big future, definitely. But Charnley, arguably the best winger in the competition at the moment. Not just his finishing, but the way he brings the ball back. You know, he's a competitor in the end, every tackle. And it's like he never had that spell away, really. He just settled straight back in. So it'll be tough to keep him out of the England team, or the Great Britain team, should I say, this year, if he carries on like he's going.
We have a young man who does a soundbite for the podcast each week, Callum. He's down in Birmingham. He's a huge Josh Charnley fan. I hate to think what he's saying now, Gareth, after you've just come out with that. Can we WhatsApp him and make sure he's okay? Right. Now, maybe this is where we start losing a few players from the Wolves. We're going into the centres. We ran a poll this week after the Hull game. We put four centres down. We tried to say who is Warrington's best centre. A little bit surprisingly, the poll ended up with 40% to Bryson Goodwin, 40% to King, about 6% to Atkins, and Mamo made up the rest. So we've put down Goodwin and King in our centre positions. The first one, Bryson Goodwin, he's up against Mark Percival. I'm going to go Percival. I think it's just a case of age, isn't it, against experience possibly here. Gareth, who would you go for?
Yeah, Percival, just, but I really like Goodwin. I think he's another proper competitor who challenges opposition players all the time, good direct lines. But Percival on his day is up there in Super League, isn't it? Just hope at some point he can transfer that to England and Great Britain as well.
Yeah. Now, Dennis, you're not a big fan of Bryson Goodwin. Are you going to go for Mark Percival?
Well, I was going to go for Matt Perival, who's a vet in Dorchester, because that's what you've put on the email. Matt Perival.
See, this is why you're at the forefront of your journalistic career, Dennis, because you've gone that extra mile to look up who this bloke is.
Yeah. So I think I still go for Matt Perival, because I really don't like Bryson Goodwin.
He hasn't had a head knock this year. He's been putting his head where he shouldn't do, and he's still not had a head knock this year, making all those yards. Okay. All right. Well, the other centres, Toby King up against, maybe this is the other way around now. We said it was youth against experience, against Kevin Naguama. I'll go Toby King. I sort of wrote him off at the start of the season and said he was a little bit flat-footed, but I think his defence and that aggression he's showing at centre, and he seems to have put on a little bit of weight as well. I'll run with Toby King. Gareth? You going against that?
Yeah, I think so. I think Toby King is another improving player, isn't he? I've seen a fair bit of him recently, and he's definitely stepping up. Kevin Naquama, you know, played in the NRL for a long time, captain Fiji in the World Cup and getting to a semi-final. I don't think we've seen the very best of him yet in Super League, but he's a class player.
So where are you going? Which one are you going there? You were sitting
Naquama,
on the fence,
I think,
a bit.
Yeah, just
you're going Naquama. Okay. All right. Sam? You could still bring this back the Warrington way.
I am bringing it back the Warrington way, only because when I was watching NRL, I've always felt that Naquama flatters to deceive. He plays a good game and then he's very quiet the next. And when he's good, he's very, very good. But
when he's bad, he's very bad.
I presume he's on marquee money, and I'd want a bit more than what I've seen of him at Saints so far. So I'm going Toby King.
Well, I never thought I'd say this, but the casting vote goes to a young man down there in his cottage.
Oh, dear.
Dennis Waywell. Come on, Dennis. Nail this one.
I think I'm going to go for Kevin. I can't say his second name. Can someone just pronounce that again for me?
It's Kevin Perival.
Ah, right, yeah. No, I think, like Sam said, I think... he's probably got more about him, I think, than King. I do like King for his addition thing when he always challenges for a ball, you know, when we do put a high kick up. And, you know, he really does challenge for it. And, you know, about five times out of ten, he comes back with a ball, which is a good return on that sort of play. But, no, Kevin.
Have you just made that stat up? Where did you dig that one from? You're 10 out of 5.
I could see you, Sam, nodding, so I reckon I've just got it right.
If 10 out of 5. 5 out of 10. If you sound confident, then he makes it, you know... That's part of the way to get away with it.
That's another true journalistic tip I picked up along the way, I think.
Oh, there you go, Gareth. You want to write that one down, mate?
Yeah, definitely.
Right, okay. Now, winger. We've put Tom Lynham in. He's been out of the team for a few weeks. He's up against Tommy Makinson. They're both very good wingers, very, very good scorers. I'm just going to have to go for the St Helens chap just because I need to even this up a little bit. So I'll go Tommy Makinson. Gareth, your thoughts? I mean, based on this season, possibly, not what's gone on in the past.
Yeah, I think Makinson still is another player. I don't see him have very many bad games. He's very consistent, and when he's good, as we saw for England last year, he's really good. So Makinson for me, I think.
Yeah, he can every now and again he can just do something to break the game open, can't he, on his own?
Yeah,
definitely. Okay. Yeah, without that,
he's the all rounder. I think.
The bow.
Did you hear the hooter go off? By the way,
what hooter?
Oh, it's all right, carry on.
You're not
got
living.
Some dodgy pipes. I live in an old cottage, and every time the toilet goes, the pipes vibrate, and the house sounds like a hooter. Sorry about that.
You live in a different, completely different world to the normal person, don't you?
Of course I do.
Right, okay. Well, we're nearly at the hooter. We're down to our last players. We're down to fullback. I'm going to sort of step back on this because you know my thoughts on Stephen Ratchford. So Stephen Ratchford versus Lachlan Coote. Has he turned out to be what they expected at St Helens? Are they getting sort of, you know, bang for their buck there? Gareth?
Yeah, definitely. And I think Saints will ultimately be a better team with Lachlan Coote than Ben Barber. I think he gives them more balance, fewer errors. He's a team player and he's getting better every week. He's bringing the rest of the team into the game regularly. Having said that, I'd still go for Ratchford just over it because I think he's been one of the best players in Super League this year when I've seen him, and a major reason for Warrington being so good so far. So that's a tough call.
Look at Sam, he's got the Englishman there. Sam's got a big grin on his face, Gareth, because he's got posters on the wall of Stephen Ratchford, haven't you, mate?
I've got posters of his nose on my wall, yeah. I was actually smiling because, Gareth, you could have been reading what I wrote down. I wrote down that...
I could have been reading what I wrote down, Gareth.
Can I sit next to you, Gareth?
He's brought organisation to Saints, better than Barber as a team player, but... This year, I think Ratchford's flying. I think he's absolutely flying. So, got to pick Ratchford there.
Coote, just to annoy Sam.
Good on you, Dennis. Good on you. All right. Well, I'll go Lachlan Coote as well. But with the casting vote here, because he's getting those two votes, it's Gareth who brings home Stephen Ratchford. And that's it. We were going to do the bench. I think we'll leave the bench because we could talk about the bench forever, couldn't we? It's going to
Should we do the coaches?
Oh, good point, Dennis. Good point. Now, we're going to put Gareth on the spot here. Let's bear in mind that Gareth has to interview these two blokes. Like, this is his job, mate. You're going off to the mill later today to work on the looms. But Gareth's got a proper job, mate. So, the coaches, Steve Price. Please feel free, you don't have to answer this, Gareth. Steve Price or Justin Holbrook? Who are you going for, Gareth?
I'm not splitting them yet until I think one of them's got to win some silverware over here to edge in front of the other. What I'll say is they've both been great media-wise coming over. You know, they've been there. I think especially Steve Price was a bit wary of the media when he first came because he'd had the head coach's role in the NRL. And yeah. I think he'd had a few occasions where he'd been... It's a different world, the media over in Sydney, I think, to what it is over here. We're fighting for space in the papers where they're fighting over each other for stitching people up sometimes. I think he did get stitched up, so he was a bit of a closed book the first 6 months, but he's changed media-wise, and I think he's become a bit more open. And they've both been great. I think the first one that wins a trophy can edge ahead. The former teammates, aren't they? They played together as kids.
Yeah.
We've done that story a couple of times in the paper. So it's an interesting battle all round at weekend, but I'm not splitting those two, I don't think.
No. Dennis, you've been nodding your head. You've interviewed Steve Price. How did you find him?
Well, I think as all coaches, they've all gone to automatic pilot when they answer the questions and so on. But he did actually listen to the questions I asked him, and he did actually answer them. So, yeah, I thought it was good. And as a coach, I think he is very good as a coach. Very different from Tony Smith.
Okay, all right. Well, we've just got a few sort of left field ones now. Well, I've got one, Gareth. My partner's a journalist, and she was sort of thrown into the mix over in London last year. She was working for Australian Associated Press, and their sports journal went home. He had to go back to Australia quickly. If it had been me, I would have been absolutely delighted, but my partner is very much into the arts and culture, and she was thrown the journalistic role for 6 months during the summer season down there in London and got to go to all the sporting events, Wimbledon, Queens, Royal Ascot, the lot. She valued every sporting occasion purely on the catering. what came out top was Queen's tennis. She thought the raspberries and the blueberries there were absolutely superb, fresh in season. We'll just keep it between Warrington and Saints. Who's got the best catering?
Oh, by a distance, I can do this one quite well. Warrington. So we get a hot meal at Warrington, which we don't get at many rugby league grounds. But there's always a very decent hot meal on before. Whereas at St Helens, we have what looks a bit like a school-packed lunch with a bag of crisps and a carton of Ribena. So Warrington, big winners on this front.
All right, well, just to follow that up, my father, he's 87 now, God love him, he gets exceptionally anxious. His anxiety comes on the most when it comes down to parking at Waitrose or Sainsbury's each week. Best parking, Warrington or St Helens?
Oh, well, you see, we're on Tesco car park. We're both there now with them having the stadiums on the same site. So it'd be tough to split those. You're probably slightly closer to the ground at Warrington, if that helps.
Okay. All right. Dennis, have you got any, mate, before we let Gareth go?
I was just going to ask him for at least one journalistic tip, either for me or for Callum. So what would be your sort of major journalistic tip for us budding journalists?
I think anyone looking to get into journalism is just try and make as many contacts as you can, knock on as many doors, meet as many people. And that's the best way into the industry, I've found. There's a fair bit of luck in the industry, I think. Just impressing the right person at the right time can count for miles more than what qualification you've got, where you went to university, anything like that. So I did do journalism at uni, but I spent my 3 years writing for League Express and Rugby League World and not paying much attention in class, really. And that ended up standing me in good stead because I knew a lot of people when I came out of uni, and that helped. So I think just meet people and knock on doors. And it can be a really frustrating industry to get into. But if you're lucky, which I have definitely been lucky to get in, then it's a fantastic, you know, I wouldn't want any other job in the world, if I'm honest.
Now, Dennis, can we just clearly point it out? There's a difference between knocking on doors and stalking. And you know how easy you've crossed the line in the past. Hey, come on, that restraining order's not been given away yet. So
all right, let's cut this out of the podcast.
All right, well, we're done. I'll run through the team. It is, I think, it's gone, well, it can't quite have gone 50-50 because we've got 13 players. But we go from the top. We've got number one at fullback, Stephen Ratchford. At two, Tommy Makinson. Three, Kevin Maguama. At four, we've got the young vet, Mark Perival. At five, we've got Josh Charnley. Six, Blake Austin. Seven, Johnny Lomax. Eight, Chris Hill. Nine, James Roby. 10, Luke Thompson. 11, Ben Curry. 12, Jack Hughes. And at 13, Morgan Knowles. We've just gone slightly towards Steve Price, but that wasn't due to Gareth. But what pretty much tops it off and makes it that Warrington will win on Friday night is the catering.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Gareth, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. We look forward to continue to read your articles in the Daily Mirror, and we wish you all the best for the rest of the season, and possibly towards the end we can get you back on to see if it's going to be Warrington's year.
Yeah, no, great. I really enjoyed that, fellas. Yeah, and if any of you are at Warrington games, just come up and say hello. It'd be great.